We've got nutrition. We've got food, of course, which is the overall umbrella. Then you'll hear the word macros thrown around a lot. And as fitness professionals, you would all know that there are four macronutrients, and we've got carbohydrate, protein, fat, and alcohol. And what that simply means is they are substances that your body uses to survive. So you have to have, or your body can survive on, those four things. And the there's an argument about alcohol, of course. There's obviously a bazillion diets in the world, and you've probably all got an idea of what a diet should consist of, or what healthy eating consists of, or you may have tried lots of different diets, or you may be aware of different diets. You've also heard the terminology lately called superfoods. So some people have an opinion that there are foods that are really important for us to be eating because of the nutritional value that they have, and that they can make you feel good and keep you healthy and stop you from getting diseases. Then there's, well, what advice do we give on food, on nutrition, on macronutrients? What kind of diets do we suggest for people? Should we be sharing superfoods with people? And should we be actually giving advice about food? And then from the max perspective, from your education perspective, how do we cover all of those things? So obviously that's the overall of what we're doing this evening. Now, the big challenge we've got with food for everybody, including myself, is our biggest barrier to learning is already knowing. And you'll hear that from me all the time, because when we know something already, what happens to our ability to learn more? So if you say, yes, I know about food, or I understand macronutrients, or I know what a superfood is, or yes, I understand nutrition, what happens to your ability to learn any more? And the answer is, there is none. Once you say, I know that already, or I've heard that before, your ability to learn more is gone. So what I'm going to ask you to do tonight, and it's a tough call, is whatever you do know about nutrition, I'm not here to share my opinion about food with you, and I'm certainly not here to tell you what to eat or what not to eat. What I'm asking you to do tonight is to have a really open mind about food and the advice that we give to people about food. So that's where we're headed this evening. So when it comes to feeling good, when it comes to having a great body shape, when it comes to having lots of energy, and how do I eat to make sure that I look good and feel good, there really are some really important questions to ask. So as fitness professionals, I'm going to ask you to make sure that you ask these questions of your clients. If you're a parent, I think it's really important to ask these questions of your children. If you're a teacher, really important to ask the question of your students. If you want to help people to be healthy, fit, and strong, I think it's really important to ask these questions. But for tonight, what I'm going to ask you to do is ask yourself these questions. So before I ask the questions, however, I'm going to pre-frame with whatever you're eating at the moment, whatever your opinion is about food, whatever your conviction or belief is about what's a healthy eating plan, these questions would need to come first. So if you believe that this is exactly the right way to eat, or this is what you should be eating, or this is how I would tell people to eat, these questions would need to be asked before you share your opinion or your advice. And now I'm going to ask you to ask these questions about yourself. So the first question is, do you wake up feeling energetic and stay that way for the whole day? So, and I'll rephrase the question. If I'm fueling myself effectively, so if I'm fit, healthy, and strong, and part of that, thank you, David, is that I've got the right fuel going into my body, should I wake up every day feeling energetic, and should I be able to stay that way for the whole day? Is that what food's all about, and is that what people want from their eating plan? To be able to wake up feeling energetic and to stay that way for the whole day. So that would be the first question. The second question, regardless of what food you're eating, regardless of what diet plan you believe is correct, the next question is, do you have the energy to do all the things that you need to do? So once again, David put it beautifully. If you're an elite athlete, if you're a sprinter, if you're a mountain climber, if you're a parent, if you're somebody who uses your brain all day long, if you've got to lift up your elderly grandmother because she's in a hospital bed, do you have the energy to do all the things that you need to do? And once again, David put it beautifully, the fuel that you put into your body, obviously your car doesn't go if it doesn't have petrol. So you have to put petrol into your car. But if you put the wrong fuel into your car, it obviously won't go. So I'll use the example, if you put diesel into your car, it won't go. If you've got a high performance car and you put budget fuel in, it won't go. So the first question was, do I wake up feeling energetic and feel stay that way all of the time throughout my whole day? And the second question is, do I have the energy to do all that I need to do? Very important questions. The next question is, am I happy with what I see in a full-length mirror? Now, obviously, there's an opinion about this gentleman's physique. Can everybody see the screen? Can everybody see Cristiano right now?
Yes.
Thank you, Abdul. I thought you might. Now, the reason I asked Abdul is he's a bodybuilder and he likes to look good, and obviously ripped abdominals are important. Is it possible that there are people who don't want to look like this? They want to either be bigger or smaller or faster or leaner, or particularly if you're a woman, you definitely don't want to look like that because that's a bloke. So the question I'm going to ask is, are you happy with what you see in your full-length mirror? So the three questions again, do you wake up with energy and maintain that energy throughout the whole day? Number two, do you have the energy for all the things that you need to do? Now, whether you lift weights or you run fast or you have children, do you have the energy that you need? And then are you happy with what you see in a full-length mirror? Now, the reason why those three questions are so important, if you have a real passionate evangelistic belief about how you should eat and what's important to eat, but you're waking up feeling terrible, you don't have any energy, and you get even less energetic throughout the day. If you don't have the energy to perform the things that you need to do every day, and if you're not happy with what you see in the full-length mirror, is it possible that what you're eating at the moment isn't working for you? Now, a really important question for you to ask yourself, and a really important question for you to ask your client. And if somebody's got an opinion about what they should be eating or telling you what to eat, once again, really important questions to ask. So there's some evangelistic, fanatical food people who tell you have to eat this, this, and this. And you've probably all experienced that where somebody said, this is what you should be eating. Well, the question that you should ask yourself or ask them is, are you waking up with energy? Can you perform all the things that you need to do? And are you happy with what you see in a full-length mirror? And the reason I share that with you is sometimes people will take advice from, for instance, an overweight person, because the overweight person's a celebrity or they've been on a diet and it worked for them or whatever. And they go, oh, well, maybe that's going to work. Well, those three questions are the really important questions to ask. And as a fitness professional at Max, I'm asking you to ask those questions of yourself and of your clients, regardless of what your current eating plan is. So the next food questions, again, please ask yourself these questions. Have you picked a weight, a size, an energy level that you're really happy with? So one of the big challenges in the world, as we all know, is yo-yo weighting, I call it. So people are fat and thin and lose weight and put on weight and go on a diet and lose weight and then they put on more weight. They pick a size that may or may not be realistic for their body size. And then they pick a weight and a size, but they have no energy because they're not eating effectively or they're not putting the right fuel into their body. So the three go together. Have you personally picked a weight, picked a size, picked an energy level, and you're very happy with it? And then how long have you maintained all three? When you're giving advice about food, people will be looking at you a lot more than listening. So if you have picked a weight, picked a size, picked an energy level, and you've maintained all three of those for, and I'm going to say as long as 10, 20, 30 years, versus, yes, I used to be at 100 kilos and I lost 40 kilos and then I'm back to 120 kilos and I lost 50 kilos. The question is, how long have you maintained? And I'm going to ask you as fitness professionals to do those three things. Pick a weight that you're really happy with, pick a size that you're really happy with, pick an energy level that you're really happy with, and stick with that for as long as you want to. And the question is, how long do you want to? So if you're going in a bodybuilding competition, for instance, you might want to have a certain size certain body fat percentage. But then the next question is, what about your energy levels? We talk a lot about getting lean and getting a six pack and getting a low body fat percentage. And then you see people walking around and they've got no energy and they're dehydrated and they can hardly walk because they haven't got the right fuel, thank you, David, in their body. So I'm asking you again to please ask yourself those questions and then ask your clients, ask your children, ask your students. Pick a weight, pick a size, pick an energy level that you could be really happy with, and how long would you like to maintain that for? How long would you like to keep it for? So here's a great photo for you, Abdul. Do you like this one? The question now is, as fitness professionals, people will come to you and ask you about food. And if they haven't already, they certainly will. Because as soon as you call yourself a personal trainer, a fitness instructor, a group exercise instructor, or you have a strong opinion about food, or you've got ripped abdominals, or big muscles, or you've just got lots of energy, there will be people who say to you, can you help me with my food? Now, the question I'm going to ask all of you personally, don't have to answer the question, just ask yourself and answer it to yourself. Who have you admired? Who have you listened to? Who have you got advice from about food? So where have your current opinions come from? So have you used a food guru? And I use that, it's not a technical term, I understand that, but it might be somebody that sets themselves up as a food guru. So they're constantly talking about food. You may or may not have checked their qualifications, but you believe that they may know a lot about food. Now, it might be a dietitian or a nutritionist. It might be somebody that's got ripped abdominals. And you go, wow, I want to have ripped abdominals too. And look at his fantastic ripped abdominals. He must know about ripped abdominals and how to eat to get them. So I'm going to ask him. So all I'm asking you to do now is to ask yourself, where have I got my current opinions about food from? Is it a bodybuilder? Did you talk to an elite athlete? Have you been to the doctor? Have you spoken to a scientist? Maybe a bikini model, a celebrity? Where have your opinions come from? And thank you, Verity, because she's put beautifully, this come from my parents. And a lot of people, that is exactly the answer. My parents taught me to eat this way. We ate this way as a child, so this is why I've been continuing to eat that way. Now, the question I now have for all of you is it possible that your wherever you've got your advice from, whether it's been from Google or from Wikipedia or from a bodybuilder or from somebody at a supplement shop, is it possible that the information that you have received may or may not be correct? So I've covered all my bases. Is it possible that the information that you've received is exactly correct, exactly right, and you're exactly on track to giving people great advice about food? Or is it possible that what your parents said, for instance, or what a bodybuilder's told you, or what your current opinion is it possible that it may not be right? And could you be open to learning? So there's some more great questions to ask yourself as a fitness professional. Now, if you have asked advice of somebody about eating, did they know all of these things about you before they gave you advice? So if you asked a doctor, a scientist, a bodybuilder, somebody with ripped abdominals, a celebrity, you found some information on Google, did they know these things about you? Did they know what you like to eat and what you don't like to eat? Do they know how you usually eat? Do they know why you eat? So some people eat because they're hungry, some people eat because they're angry, some people eat because they're emotional, some people eat because they want to train hard, some people eat because it's the time of day. There are lots of reasons for eating, and you all have a different reason for eating. And you might believe that your reason is exactly correct, but is it possible that other people eat for different reasons? They would need to know where you eat. Some people eat at the table. Some people eat in the car. Some people eat in front of the television. Some people eat on the run. Some people eat while they're chopping up food for their children. Is it possible that where you eat food is different to where other people have decided to eat food? When you asked advice of somebody about food, or you were looking for advice, did they ask you when you actually like to eat food? Now, there's a lot of opinions about when you should eat food. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. You should eat 5 meals a day. You should eat 15 meals a day. I just spoke to somebody recently. He's doing an interesting eating plan where he only eats for 4 hours a day. So for the other 20 hours a day, he doesn't eat anything. And for the 4 hours that he chooses, he gets to eat whatever he wants to in that 4 hours. Now, whether you believe that's right or wrong, If I go back and ask him this question, are you waking up with a stack of energy and maintaining that throughout the day? Do you have the energy to perform all the things that you want to do? And do you like what you see in a full-length mirror? Whether you agree or disagree with him eating only for 4 hours every day, when I asked him those three questions, he said, absolutely yes. I love what I see in the mirror. I've got heaps of energy and I maintain it all throughout the day. And I'm really happy with the way I perform when I train at the gym and when I go for a run. So I'm just asking you to consider some of those things. So his when for eating is really interesting. If somebody's going to give you advice about food, should they ask you how you feel about food? When you eat food, when you don't eat food. Now, you might say, look, when I don't eat food, I'm hungry. And when I do eat food, I'm full. If you've been doing this for a little bit longer than 5 minutes, and I've been doing this now for 33 years, a lot of people, when I say, how do you feel when you do eat? I feel guilty. I feel fat. I feel bad about myself. And how do I feel if I don't eat? I feel really powerful and I feel really strong. So how you feel about food may be different to other people. Then there's all of these things here. What if you're a vegetarian? What if you're paleo and you just eat vegetables and meat? What if you're a real carb person versus, I know I just want to eat protein? And I'll just give you a couple of examples of that. I was at a bodybuilding competition just recently. There were two gentlemen who, it's a subjective sport, they were obviously judged. They both looked to me identical. There was four judges. Two judges picked one guy, two judges picked the other guy. So it had to come down to, they had to come in and get a master judge. And ultimately, one guy won and one guy got second. Now, I always go and ask, what do you eat and how do you train and what do you do? Because I'm always really interested. And what was interesting about these two guys, whose physiques looked almost identical, one guy said that all he ate was vegetables and oats. And the other guy said all he ate was chicken breast and broccoli. And they both looked pretty much the same. Now, I then asked my three favorite questions, which are, do you wake up with lots of energy? Do you have the energy to train? And do you like what you see in the mirror? And they both said, yes, yes, yes. So interestingly, whether you agree or not with either of those eating plans, for those guys at that time, doesn't matter what you think. And I'm asking you to really consider that very carefully. Whether you agree or not, doesn't matter what you think. The next one's alcohol. Some people believe that alcohol is really important and they have two or three drinks every day. Some people don't drink alcohol at all. You may have a very strong opinion about alcohol. It might be religious reasons. You might have had an alcoholic in your family. You might think that alcohol is really bad for you. You might think that alcohol makes you fat. The challenge with alcohol is that everybody's got a different opinion about it. And is it possible that other people have a different opinion than you? Same with coffee. Some people tell you that coffee makes you fat. Some people absolutely believe that coffee makes them fat. And other people believe that coffee is the reason why they're thin, because they take a diet supplement that's full of caffeine and it's the thing that gives them energy, or they drink Red Bull on a regular basis and they just love their coffee. And you might not agree. You might think coffee's terrible, or you might think that it's great, but is it possible that people have a different opinion to you? Supplements is the same. There are some people who take supplements who absolutely passionately believe that the reason they are in great shape and the reason they've got heaps of energy and the reason why they have they wake up with energy every day is because they take supplements. And there's other people who tell you that supplements are a complete waste of time and there's nothing in them that works. However, whatever your opinion is it possible that people have a different opinion to you? And is it possible that whoever believes that the supplement works for them, it absolutely does, versus no, it doesn't? And all I'm asking you to do is give all of these some serious consideration. If somebody's giving advice about food, so if somebody's given you advice about food or you're going to give advice, do you know what the person's metabolic rate is, which is literally how fast they burn calories? And then it's not just their metabolic rate, you'd also want to know what their respiratory quotient is, which is whether they're predominantly a fat burner versus predominantly a carbohydrate burner. And obviously we know that fit people burn fat faster at rest, which means their respiratory quotient is swayed because they're fitter to burning fat at rest. And if you're giving advice about food, you'd actually want to know those things. You want to know the person's activity level. It's really easy to say you should be eating this and you should have this and you shouldn't have this and don't have that. But if somebody gave you advice about food but they didn't know what your activity levels were, would you think that would be good advice? And I'm asking you to think very carefully about that. And then, of course, there's the amount of muscle versus fat. And I'll go back there because I've given you some clues to what's coming up. You can say, well, yes, I gave them a body fat percentage and then X amount of fat versus how much muscle have they got. And, of course, the point there is that if I've got much more muscle, I'm going to have a higher metabolic rate. And when I exercise, I'm going to be burning more calories because I've got more muscle. So when it comes down to how much should I be eating, you would actually have to know those things. So when you look at that, it becomes a little bit a bigger picture than this is what you should eat and this is what you shouldn't eat. And what I'm asking you to do is to think very carefully before you give advice or before you take advice that perhaps these questions need to be asked. I'll go back to the vegetarian versus paleo. Some people are vegetarian because of religious reasons or because they love animals or because they really passionately believe that they feel better when they're vegetarian. And there's other people that will tell you right now that if you're a vegetarian and you're not eating meat, that you're going to be really unhealthy. However, if you speak to both vegetarians and paleo people about having plenty of energy, being able to do all the things they want to do and being able to wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and love what they see, both groups will tell you, some will tell you yes and some will tell you no. So there's a lot to consider as a fitness professional when you want to give out information about food. So what I'm going to ask you to do is be really careful and considerate before you give any information. And the reason for that, and I'm sharing this with the most humble heart and from my heart to yours, is that most of us, in fact, I believe all of us, get very excited and it's really awesome for our ego when somebody says, could you please help me lose weight? Could you please help me put on muscle size? Could you please help me with getting my body into great shape? Because we feel important. And when we feel important, we go, of course, and we deliver a whole heap of information. What I'm going to ask you to consider really carefully is to put your ego aside, as I've had to do for the last 33 years, and instead of telling people what to eat, please really consider all of these things before you give out any information. So, the most important thing, however, that anybody needs to know about food is what you think about food. And your opinion is the most important about your food, which means that your client's opinion about food is the most important opinion, not yours. And I'm sharing that with you because it's one of the most controversial topics on the planet right now, even more controversial than politics or sexual persuasion or religion. I'm going to ask you to be very careful as a fitness professional when you go to a party or a barbecue about talking about food, because people have an opinion, and whether they're educated or not, whether they've done a nutrition course or not, whether they're thin or fat, whether they train or they don't, most people have a really strong opinion about food. And by the way, everybody's got a right to that opinion because A, they eat food, and usually 2 to 3, if not more, times every day. So people have an opinion about food, as do you. So if somebody's got an opinion about religion and it's different from yours, what happens when you argue? If someone's got an opinion about sexual persuasion and it's different from yours, what happens if you argue? If someone's got an idea about politics and it's different from yours, what happens when you argue? You have an argument. And if you really want to help people to lose weight, get fit, feel fantastic, do we really think as fitness professionals that it's a good idea to have an argument? You could get very quickly into an argument if you believe that you should eat red meat and the person's a vegetarian. You could get very quickly into an argument if you believe that oats are a superfood, but the person you're talking to thinks that oats makes them fat. You could have a very big argument very quickly if you believe that supplements are silly and the person you're chatting to takes 28 supplements every day and absolutely passionately believes that those supplements are helping them to achieve their goals. So what I'm going to ask you to do, please, is ask the other person what they think and what's important to them and what they're prepared to do. And for those of us that have a very strong opinion about food, this is a really tough thing to do. But ultimately, and this is one of the reasons why tonight's session came up, apart from the fact that there are lots of people who want to graduate at the moment, the big thing is when you start chatting to people about getting results from their exercise program, obviously the food topic's going to come up. And the most questions that get asked of me every single day by all of my MAC students that I chat to regularly is always, Rowie, what do I do about this? This client's not losing weight, or this client doesn't want to eat what I tell them to, or this client isn't prepared to do what they said they were going to do. The most important person when it comes to food is you, which means your client's opinion about food is the most important. And if that's the only thing that you can ever take away from your MAC program, then it's going to be a really good thing, because people will only do what they are prepared to do, not what you tell them to do. And you can argue and you can convince and you can tell them and you can do whatever you want, but ultimately, people will only do what they think is the right thing to do and what they're prepared to do. So when we're giving advice, and if you're looking for advice, the only thing that the MAX program suggests is this. It's called the Smarties Principle. Now, most of you know what this is, but I don't think any of you have heard it directly out of my mouth and how important it is. This is a foolproof plan that you can run through for any eating plan that anybody ever suggests to you. And your clients can run it through if you suggest something to them. But most importantly, if you're giving advice to people about food, could you please run the advice through the Smarties Principle so that you know what you're giving them is something that they will actually be able to do. So for those of you who are unaware what it is, and for most of you, it'll just be revision. S stands for something I can actually do for the rest of my life. Now, the reason I've picked this amazing photo, Abdul, is apart from a bit of saggy skin, which is what happens as you get older, wouldn't it be fantastic if we could all maintain our health and our weight and our great activity levels and our size for the rest of our lives? And who wants to be old and gray and not be able to do anything because you have to sit in a hospital bed versus looking like this guy? So the question is not, is this something I can do to get me into a bodybuilding competition? Is this something I can do to get into my bikini? Is this something I can do to get into a dress I want to wear to a party? Versus, is this something that I can actually stick to for the rest of my life? The second challenge I want to give everybody is, if I'm giving people advice that they can't stick to for the rest of their life because it's too complicated, too hard, too boring, doesn't fit in with their lifestyle, isn't what they agree with, how long will they stick to it for? Only until another guru comes along, only until somebody with more ripped abdominals than you comes along, only until another fitness professional or nutritionist or another person comes along with different advice. And it won't work. And I think one of the biggest challenges that we've got in the world today is that people go on a diet, lose weight, put more weight back on again, because it's not something they can stick to for the rest of their life. So it's a really important question. Can I stick to this for the rest of my life? The next one is moderation. And it's a really interesting one because moderation is completely different for everybody. So for instance, somebody that drinks alcohol, moderation for them might be 1 to 2 glasses a night versus non-moderation, which is 5 glasses a night. For somebody who doesn't drink alcohol at all, moderation in alcohol is ridiculous because they don't drink at all. For somebody who's a fanatic about food, moderation might be that they have a takeaway meal once a month or once a year. For some other people, moderation might be, well, normally I eat McDonald's 7 nights a week, I'm going to cut back to 3 nights a week. So moderation is not your opinion, it's what is moderation for that person. What can they stick to for the rest of their life, and what is moderation for them? A stands for achievable. And if somebody goes into an eating plan and they actually don't believe they can achieve it, what do you think their chances are of doing it? The other thing to consider there is what they can achieve in 6 months' time might be completely different to now. One of the challenges we've got as fitness professionals is we give people these really big, massive change of eating plan or big, massive change of exercise plan, which is completely different to what the person's used to, and they do it for a week and can't continue. But if it's achievable right now and they get a little result and they feel good about themselves, so they're doing 1 minute of exercise and they're eating one piece of fruit. So you might passionately believe that somebody should eat 7 serves of vegetables every day, but if somebody's not eating any vegetables at all, And you suggest, well, pick the best vegetable that you hate the least. And which one is it? Okay, that's tomatoes. Well, what if we aim to have half a tomato every day? And they start eating some kind of fresh fruit and vegetable, and they start feeling better about themselves. Now it becomes achievable to keep going. Now that's all dependent upon what the person wants, what they like to eat, what they don't like to eat, what they're currently eating at the moment. So something I can stick to for the rest of my life, moderation for me, moderation for you, moderation for your client, achievable for the person that's getting the advice. Realistic simply means, can they actually fit this into their lifestyle? Is it realistic for them to be exercising for 30 minutes a day when they haven't exercised at all? Is it realistic for them to weigh their food, measure their food, count their calories, do their percentage of macros when at the moment they're eating Kentucky Fried Chicken, pizza and McDonald's every day? So the realistic has to be, what are they doing at the moment versus realistically, what can we do small changes with to help them out right now? T stands for time efficient. One of the big challenges or the excuses or the things that people will share with you is they don't have time. I don't have time to cut up my vegetables. I don't have time to cook healthy meals. And you can argue with them and say, yes, you can, and yes, you should, and yes, I'm telling you that you have to. However, they have to believe that it's time efficient. This is all coming to a very interesting conclusion. I and E stands for interesting and enjoyable. Now, what you think is interesting food and what and enjoyable food and what your client thinks is interesting and enjoyable food may well be two different things. You may find, and I'll just give you another quick example. I asked somebody just recently what their favorite food was, and the gentleman said boiled chicken and broccoli. Seems to come up a lot with bodybuilding. He actually said that his favorite food was boiled chicken and broccoli. Now, for most people, that would not be interesting and that would not be enjoyable. But for him, because I go back to my three favorite questions, do you wake up with lots of energy? Do you have the energy to train? And do you love what you see in the mirror? His answer was yes. So he finds chicken, boiled chicken and broccoli, very interesting and very enjoyable. However, for other people, that may not be the case. S stands for, and this is a very interesting one, in your MAX program, it stands for scientific. So is it scientifically sound? I'm going to change that just slightly to say common sense. And if you go to the science and compare that with common sense, you might find sometimes that that's completely different. So I'll give you an example. The science for drinking water is that your body needs 1 liter for every 25 kilograms of body weight and 1 liter for every hour of exercise. If somebody doesn't drink any water at all, and they're 100 kilos, and you now go to the science, which is you would now need to drink 4 liters of water every day, what is the chances that that person's going to be sticking to that for the rest of their life? So what I'm asking you to do as fitness professionals is think very carefully about the science. Now I'm going to give you some more examples of science. The science will very clearly tell you about how much protein the body needs, how much carbohydrate the body needs, how much fat the body needs, and it'll probably tell you that the body doesn't need any alcohol at all. Now I will use alcohol as an example. That's arguable because the Heart Foundation will suggest that it's good to drink 1 to 2 glasses of alcohol every day. The science says that. People who don't drink alcohol won't agree with that because they don't drink alcohol. The body can store between 450 to 500 grams of carbohydrate. However, there's some people that if you suggest that they eat 450 to 500 grams of carbohydrate because they haven't got any in their body, they would rather die because their headspace hates carbohydrate because they absolutely passionately believe that carbohydrate makes them fat. So you can give them the science of carbohydrate, but they're not going to listen to you because they don't believe it. It's not what they are passionate about. The human body only needs 1 gram of protein per kilogram of body weight. That's a scientific fact. But there are bodybuilders who would rather die than just eat 1 gram of protein every day. 1 gram of protein per kilogram of body weight. And they'll keep eating and they take protein powders and they eat protein bars and they drink milk and they eat steak and they have way more protein than their body needs scientifically. But I'm going to ask you this massive question. Which is the more powerful tool inside your body, your brain or your heart? Your brain or your muscles? Your brain or your metabolism? Your brain or your skeletal system? Your brain or your hormonal system? Your brain or your cardiovascular system? That's an interesting anatomical question. Oh, we've got some rattling in the background. I'm going to give you the answer. If your brain's not working, will the rest of your body be working? It's an interesting question, isn't it? So here's my big question. Is it possible that the brain is such a powerful tool that every piece of advice about protein that comes from science, sorry about protein, about anything to do with nutrition that comes from science is irrelevant if the person's headspace isn't there? And I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to argue now from the extreme. Some of you have heard this example before. I had a client who was 29 years of age and 29 kilos. Now, she did die, but she didn't die of anorexia. She died because her husband tried to force feed her. She had been 29 kilos since she was 25 years of age. The amount of calories that she ate every day was somewhere between 50 to 100 calories. There's no way that she ate more than that. And yet she lived for at least 5 years on an eating plan that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And those of you that have heard the story, she used to dunk a tea bag 5 times, and if she dunked it 6 times, she'd throw the tea away. Now, there's no calories in tea, but her headspace was that that's what she needed to eat. She would chew chewing gum, but she would only chew it 20 times, and if she chewed it 21 times, she'd spit it out. I'm sharing with you that her head kept her alive for a very long time. Are there people who live in concentration camps or prison camps where they're not getting the nutrition that they need, but they still come out of concentration camp and they're strong and fit and healthy because their brain kept them moving, kept them exercising? What I'm asking you all to do, please, folks, is the only thing about nutrition from the MAX program is that we deal with individual people. You cannot write a eating plan for a group of people. You cannot write an exercise program for a group of people. We are in the personal training business. What we do is personally look after each individual person. So what I'm asking you to do, please, 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 is keep people away from this. Now, this is a whole different session, but most of us sit somewhere on this scale, which is zero. I have no emotional attachment to food. I'm guilt-free. I eat when I'm hungry. I'll stop eating when I'm full. I lose weight if I put it on. Food is a normal part of my life, like sleeping and showering and brushing my teeth. And food's just a normal part of my life. 10 is when food controls your life. And everything about your life is determined by calories, fat grams, protein grams, when I should eat, how I should eat. We become obsessed with calories and carbs and diets and body image. And that's when, unfortunately, for those of you who haven't seen this scale, this is when this happens. If I'm at 10 on the emotional eating scale, I now get either anorexia, bulimia, or obesity because food is in control of my life. So either food wins and I become obese, or I win and I get anorexia, or I have this constant argument, food war inside my head. So I eat the food and then I throw it up, or I take laxatives, or I do excessive exercise. What I'm asking you to seriously consider as fitness professionals is that this is something we must keep people away from. And when we start talking about can't have, mustn't have, shouldn't have, don't have, it's bad for you, in regards to any kind of food, we start pushing people down this emotional eating scale. So if you go back to the Smarties principle, and I'll just run through it again quickly and then we'll finish up. Can I stick to this for the rest of my life? Is it in moderation for me? Is it achievable for me? Is it realistic for me? Is it time efficient for me? Is it interesting and enjoyable for me? And does it make common sense for me? So the big question that we always ask our clients is not, do you want me to give you advice about what to eat? The big question is, if you were your own high-performance eating coach, what would you recommend that you should do to get your body into great shape? And when you ask that really cool question, then people are much more likely to believe what they say versus believe what you say. So all I'm asking you to do is this, and I can't do anything more than ask. From my experience, there are plenty of people out there who are giving advice about food and telling people what to eat and what they shouldn't eat and what they should eat and what they can't eat and what they can have and how many fat grams and carbohydrate grams and what their macros should be. But unless you know all of these things about people, then you actually have no right to do that. All I'm going to ask you to do is if people aren't waking up with energy and enthusiasm and maintaining it throughout the day, if people don't have the energy to train the way they want to and perform at what they need to do, and if people aren't happy with what they see in the mirror, then they need to make some changes. But the changes need to be based on what they like to eat, what they don't like to eat, what they usually eat, why they eat, where they eat, when they eat, and all of these other things versus on your opinion. And I'm asking that very, very specifically simply because, as most of you know, I've spent most of my career dealing with people with serious eating disorders, whether they're obese or anorexic or bulimic. And I don't want our children to grow up in a world where food controls their life. I want our kids to grow up in a world where food is just a normal part of their life and they love it and they eat what they like to eat and they don't eat what they don't like to eat. They're healthy, fit and strong. They maintain their energy levels throughout the day. They love what they see in the mirror. And to finish off, something that I would never normally share with anybody, but I think it's very appropriate for tonight. I don't know anybody that has maintained their weight for as long as I have. I've got a pair of black trousers that I try on every week as my measurement for how my body shape is going, because I don't weigh myself and I don't measure myself. And I bought those trousers when I was 18. I'm now 51 and they still fit me exactly the same. So I've maintained my weight for a very long time. I don't know anybody that has as much energy as I do. I don't know anybody that's as positive as I am. I don't know anybody that handles pressure as well as I do, or stress as well as I do. And I don't know anybody who loves their life as much as I do. However, if you ask me what I eat and how I eat and when I eat, and I would rather die than tell you. Because what I do is completely different to what you should be doing, because what you should be doing is what you need to be doing to give you those same things. So what I'm asking you to do is to be that person. Be the person that maintains your weight, your energy level, your size, how you feel about life and how happy you are. Because as people do with me every single day, Rowie, what do you do? You're always so happy. You've always got so much energy. You've always the same weight and the same size. What do you do? And my answer is always exactly the same. What do you want to do? What's important to you? Because the ultimate answer to any question is, what do you think? What do you think you should do? And hold people accountable to what they want to do. So that's our Max Chat for this evening. I've kept you much longer than I should have, but thank you very much for joining us. Please leave if you need to, and everybody that has any questions, I'm obviously here for that as well. Do we have any questions?